Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Thursday night in Boston.
the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens, they aggregate double overtime. The Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens have played for many, many years. Montreal has gotten better of Boston many, many years. Well, Thursday night at Boston TD Gardens, the game went the longest of the night, one of the best games played of the year, and Canadian defenseman P.K. Dubon got a pass to the key post, fired a rifle shot toward the Boston Bruins net. The puck flying through the maze of players as Boston going to Karask for a winning goal. And it was a big deal. Well, the big deal is P.K. Dubon, a black Canadian. P.K. Dubon is a great hockey player. The Canadian network monitored the internet. There were 17 million tweets with P.K. Dubon's name with the letter, with the word, the N-word behind it. It was in the beginning. It got ugly at the Boston Gardens. Fans started voicing their displeasure. And their team lost to the Canadiens again in the Eastern Conference Finals. Make it worse, it was a black guy, a dark black guy, that got the winning goal. What about rain down the ice? Monkey Jen in the arena. And to make it worse, on the internet, they had a picture of an X-Men loose with P.K. Dubon, a picture underneath of it. Now, we have learned nothing this past week from Los Angeles. We have learned nothing about racial sensitivity. Boston proves it again. And that's the hockey league. We'll have to address this issue. Just as the National Football League has to address the Washington Football Club's issue. The NBA Clippers issue. And Major League Baseball lack of black players. They all have to deal with the racial issue in major sports. On Friday morning, Bruins president and ex-player Cam Neely had seen enough. Or maybe he saw a picture of the noose on the internet. And he issued a statement. The racist, fascist views expressed by an ignorant group of individuals following Thursday night's game via digital media are in no way a reflection of anyone associated with the Boston Bruins organization. It echoes the statement the Boston Bruins were compelled to make after Joe Ward of the Washington Capitals overtime goal 3 years ago. The barrage of racial slurs on the Boston fans and social media. Now, mind you, Joe Ward and BK Subban are of Dr. U. Oh, of course. It's our sports leader, yeah, the rat, the rodent, the mouse. He has been, didn't say a word, and the 12 hours later, when they were forced to, as Jackie McMullen stated, that the Boston Bruins fans needed to apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I played Ray Charles is very simple. We gotta do better than this. We gotta do better than this. We cannot continue to go down this road. Ever since President Obama walked into the city of Pennsylvania Avenue, some people think it's alright. They ain't even feel right. Well, guess what? We got your eyes on you. Every time you do this, we're going to report it. Every time you say that it's stupid, we're going to report it. Until you stop. The broom rat, the broom rat has a problem. Because number 36, I'm not going to stop playing. The more these change, the more they remain the same. The Boston Bruins fans need to apologize to BK Subban and the African American community. And they need to do it. They need to do it this weekend. To go on this episode, it continues. Today on Michael Lewis Ingram's show, another episode. This continues the nonsense. We gotta get over it. I'm telling you, we have to have a national conference. A national conference on race. Led by minority leaders. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. Thank you guys for what I'm talking about. I want you to hear this. This was played yesterday afternoon. At Sirius Radio, Mad Dog Russo, who thought he was cool, he got caught. This. Come on now.
Good afternoon. How are you today? What time do you want?
Good afternoon. You know, I normally don't hold mic now, but that was a good interview. You always like to say good spot or whatever, you and Rome. But that was one of the better interviews that I heard.
I'm tired hearing about me, bros. But that was good, honest assessment. I 100% appreciate it.
All right, good job, Warrior. Thanks for your approval. Next.
And next is, I wanted to talk a little bit about, in light of the Clipper situation, as it made you take a look at your hiring practice there at Mad Dog Radio, do you realize that you guys have never had a black host there?
Yeah, we're aware of that.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we have. Of course, we don't think we're not stupid. We're not colorblind.
Yes, of course, we're aware of that.
How about you? What would you like us to do? There's not a million candidates. Would you like us to put on a black host who just for the sake of putting on a person of African American, so we can say we have a black host on? Or this is subscription radio that people are paying to listen to people? Or do you want us to see if we can find a black host who is worthy of being doing a national talk show? What would you like?
You tried that when you used a female on the, but you want to be a host or whatever, you guys.
Well, that was a gig. I mean, you know, be a host for a day and everything else. Come on, stand or whatever we do.
Right.
Here.
Well, you tried.
I mean, that don't count. That's too long ago. Don't go there.
See that you haven't been able to find a black host that's good enough to be on there yet.
You don't know? Don't you think if we thought there was a black sports talk show host who knew what was going on and who wanted a job here with us, you don't think we put the person on? What do you think, we're crazy?
Oh my God, you're having your...
How many told us? First off, Warrior, just do this. How many guys out there you think can do talk show, national talk shows? Without commercials. So you're talking for 45, 46 minutes an hour, three to 5 hours a day. How many of those people that will know enough about sports to converse? How many folks out there think can do that?
A black host out there that's qualified to work there right now.
Well, if that person is qualified, I haven't seen a resume or I haven't heard a tape. But the idea, folks, that there are a million talk shows, white, black, or pink, who cares? That women, you name it. How many guys do you think there are out there where you can just plop in a chair without calls, an empty screen, and talk for 4 hours and be entertaining, number one. Do an interview that's quality, number two, and get the phone lines going, number three. And be on at a strange hour, you know. 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. You're not going to give them drive time during the week. You're not going to give them morning drive during the week. You know, Adam's here, so, I mean, you're talking about odd times on a channel that, you know, and all channels at Sirius have trouble at times with phone calls. You tell me how that's going to get done. Tell me. Wait, you think that guy just drops off? Here I am. Put me on. And who can do it? You stick him in this chair for 3 hours. And you guys out there are paying to listen. This is not free radio. You got to pay. It's more of an obligation to get good people for you. You're paying for the service. It's not that easy. I'm telling you. Willie in Maryland, our Mad Dog Unleashed. Willie, good afternoon. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing fine, sir. Hey, you know, Mad Dog, let me say this, and then I'm going to get on my box. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Army, okay, and I'm a pretty intelligent guy. It's the way you put it in terms of when you said there's not any blacks that's qualified.
I didn't say they're qualified. I said they haven't applied. I didn't say they're not qualified. I said, get it right, Willie. Now, please. I said they have not applied. I have not run by, no tape has come, not that I'm making a decision anyway, but no tape has run by my desk from a black host who I would deem worthy of doing a national sports talk radio program.
Okay.
All right.
Well, look,
there's not that many white. There's not that many any.
Green. Mad Dog Russo. What would he say? He's saying, "Guys, yeah, no, it's great. You can't do this. Michael Ingram, you can't do this. Tony McClain, you can't do this. L.A. Baxter, you can't do this. Pat Freeman, you can't do this. Why? Because you're African American. This guy's up. Don't you wait. You can't do this. On the radio. Michael Negro, 10 years on the radio. Another 10 years in Canada. Pat Freeman in Buffalo, New York. WUFO, 1080. L.A. Baxter in Raleigh, Colorado. Tony McClain in Connecticut, Bridley, Connecticut. You can't do this. The reason why you know, when you are there, it's because we speak the truth. And some of the things that you've been spouting, we can undermine. That's why you don't want black people on your radio stations. Okay? It's been 6 years. 6 years. And it's still not about Michael Vick. Why? Okay, ask that question. Talking about that, went to the NFC title 4 times, went to the Super Bowl 1 time, and if you had any receivers, you win one Super Bowl. But you ain't gonna tell Russo that. WIP, if it's obvious. Hey, how many African Americans do you have there? WABC New York. Hey, WFAN in Minnesota. Larry King, man. WBBM in Chicago. Look, what Russo said was nobody applied to the job. Well, next question, are you looking? Have you gone searching? The answer is simple, no. No, you haven't done so. That, this is the lame excuse they're giving. So you have episodes like Sterling. You have episodes like Russo. Time to stop playing, folks. Stop playing. Be real. We get tired of this. I get tired when BK Subban scores a goal for the winning team and he gets water thrown in. He gets bottles thrown in. And he gets gone every day in the book. Why? Stop it. Stop it. And what Boston gonna do next when his brother Malcolm Subban will wear a Boston Bruins uniform? You gonna boo him too? Play a bigger team? What happened to Barry Bonds and the way Barry Bonds responded was no accident. Because what the media had done to Barry Bonds was inexcusable. They call him a drunk, lazy player, can't hit, well, excuse me, Barry Bonds was an All-Star game. By about 298 in career. Okay, but yeah, no, that doesn't count. He's an alcoholic, he's a drunk. But by about saw this, you ain't doing it to me. That's why by about is the way he is. Okay, yeah, that is there. But see, Russo, people like Russo would never go into the industry. Too lazy. Or the fact that Joe Street Gilliam, who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, went 4-1-1 before Jerry Bradshaw took over. I bet you Brazilians are not either. We have to have black owners, black managers, black writers to change this story. From people like Russo, get down to nothing. And people are bothering get down to being an idiot. Not a good week. Not a good week this week. L.A., Boston, and now it's with Roseau. Not a good week. African American. These athletes have got to take control of the situation. When last week, when they were going to walk out, Victor walked out. Last week, when the injury was on, they said, okay, we ain't not playing basketball until this man out of the NBA. Now we're injury done. Now Sterling has no place in the National Basketball League. But yet the league can't get rid of him. Why? Because he's the owner. I'm telling you, Mr. President, I urge you, Mr. President, to have a national conference or race before you leave 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Because if you don't do it the next 2 years, it will never get done. Let me do that again. If it doesn't do that the next 2 years, it will never get done. Because corporate America, no one hear it. President, no one hear it. The president of Cinco doesn't want to hear it. Target Doors, they don't want to hear it. The NCAA doesn't want to hear it. All we ask as African Americans is a fair chance, a fair choice. We're not going to get it. Because you have people like Sterling. You have people like Sarah, Mad Dog. You have people like Boston Bruins fan base. Now, I'm commissioner of the National Hockey League. I would suspend the Boston Bruins. That would teach them, you can't do something like that. Now, I bet you if Crosby got the drive, I bet you the NHL right then. If Patrick Kane got a bottle drive, I bet you right then. But because it's PK Subban, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's a shame that we as African Americans have to deal with this every day, every week, every year, every month. When are we going to learn? When are we going to stop the foolishness? Because this is foolishness. I have to sit here and write another story because another clown is doing this. White people have got to stand up and say enough. White people, you gotta say it. White people need to stand up and say enough. We cannot no longer have this kind of nonsense. Man, Mad Dog Russo, Andy Gracie, Donald Sterling, Andy Gracie, the Boston Bruins fan, Andy Gracie. Respect yourself and the people around you. I'm going all day because I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired of foolishness. Every week, somebody else calls them and I was like, they had no sentence at all. And the media placate them. Enough. My COVID caravan, you have to speak up and say enough. What my dog Russo said was inexcusable. Last week it was Sterling. Enough. Okay, I'm gonna move on. We got abuse up in the mix. Gary Busey, come on in here, please.
Mr. Gray, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm very upset right now with the national media news.
Yeah, I would say you're slightly on edge there.
ESPN is flaking them again.
Mm-hmm,
Gary,
mm-hmm.
Gary, you have a story. Like, what's your job? Your job is to report a story.
Yeah.
ESPN took it upon themselves not to tell a story.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were a sports leader. Okay?
Yeah.
So, P.K. Saban, Montreal Canadiens, scores a goal, engaged with the game. What happens? Guys throw towels, throw water bottles, and monkey tins. Okay, see, this is the kind of nonsense that we do with day in and day out.
I had a couple of comments about other stuff you said here. First of all, in regards to Mr. Russo, the only reason people like Mr. Russo have a job is because sports radio as an industry has gotten so big. And with the advent of the internet and the other things that are available, you know, it's gotten to where any clown such as Mr. Russo.
I'm glad you said clown. I'm glad you didn't work clown. Everybody is.
can get a spot to expouse, you know, their garbage or whatever they want to do. And I think a prime reason for this is because sports radio has become an industry in itself. And unfortunately, what happens with people like Mr. Russo is he stirs people up. And the sponsors like that. Because they make money.
Wait. Stop right there.
I'm not saying it's right.
Okay, Gary. What is your job as a reporter?
Well, to be objective, but I think that went out the window a long time ago, so.
Your job is to report the news. Your job is to tell people what's going on around the country. That's your job. Now, what these clowns done have become personalities. That's what the problem is going to get at.
Yep, the whole media is based on, you know, personality.
So, in order to get an audience, you got to create controversy.
Yep.
How do you create controversy? middle-class American.
Yep.
So Mad Dog Rousseau is only catering to the people.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, if you're a reporter, you report it as it is. But that's boring. That's boring.
Yeah.
So let's say Michael Vick is a dog killer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, this is the guy who lives and runs that thing to the ground.
Yeah.
Why? Because people like dogs.
Yep.
Now, don't get twisted, folks. I love dogs. And Michael Vick did the wrong thing, correct? But what the media has done to Michael Vick is inexcusable. And they should be ashamed of themselves for doing what they have done the past 8 years.
Well, I think if, in terms of XM Sirius Radio, if they have any class at all, they will dump Mr. Rousseau. But unfortunately,
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Wait, do you remember I was in New York said about the Rutgers girls?
I'm sorry, say again.
Do you remember what Mr. Imus said about Rutgers female
basketball team? Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
Okay, where is he at now? Back on the radio.
Yep.
Okay, they. Mr. Imus. Well, I don't know. He called the Rutgers female basketball team Nappy and his O's. Mr. Imus got fired for 3 months and returned the conquering hero. Now, my question to America, why do you support Mr. Imus after he criticized one of the most talented teams with the talented coach of Stringer, Steve Vivian Stringer, who got 4 different teams to the Final Four and nobody, let me be there again, nobody has done that. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Mr. Imus took it upon himself to call these young women nappy and his hoes. This is the kind of nonsense that we're dealing with here.
Comment on Donald Sterling, too. I found it very interesting that after the decision came down from the league to suspend him, that his PR people immediately came out and said, "Oh, he's had you know, colon cancer or whatever for you know, for 2 years. It was all
yeah, nonsense.
Yeah, but
he got caught. The simple thing, he got caught.
I just find it interesting that his handlers jumped on it and said, "Oh, don't be," you know, they didn't say it in so many words, but, you know, it was like, "Don't be so hard on the guy. He's sick, you know. He should have died 2 years ago, blah, 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 blah."
Okay.
So.
Okay. You know what? I was getting with the end of the
I'm sorry, I missed that.
And Mr. Dan Gilbert and Ziggy in the boots, and Snyder of the Washington Football Club and Ziggy in his boots. You know why? Dan Gilbert goes right along with Mr. Sterling, Dan Gilbert, the way he treated LeBron James 10 years ago was exactly the same way that Donald Sterling was treated LeBron James. And until these athletes stand up, speak out, and take action, this will continue. This will not, and Mr. Snyder of the Washington Football Club is scared to death. You know why? Because he's next. The Washington Football Club will be changing his name. Whether he likes it or not, they're going to change that name. Because then there'll be a fool if he wants to, that name is going to change. Whether he likes it or not. And that's what the Sterling episode brought out.
Yeah, everything, you know, everything like that that comes out, you know, they say what goes around comes around, and you start digging that stuff up, and everything just comes out of the woodwork.
Gary, don't understand, Mr. Snyder. I don't understand why he doesn't do this naturally, change the name by himself. I don't understand why he's dogging this thing so hard.
Yeah.
What is the problem with changing the name of the Washington Football Club? What is the problem? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I think part of the problem is that the NFL doesn't, you know, consider it a problem just because the quote Redskins have been the quote Redskins for so many years. So,
have you looked up the term, what that term means?
Redskin?
It's a term. You know what I mean?
I haven't looked it up specifically, though.
It is more heinous than the N-word when you call black people. That's how bad it is. You would never, let me do that again, you would never call another Native American a Redskin.
Yeah.
It would smack you upside your head.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you can't commit that letter to that. You can't commit the Washington Football Club in relation to that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And you have your what we call Uncle Tom Indians. Who knows the name? Saying that you have Uncle Tom Negroes.
Well, there's a term I haven't heard in a while.
I mean, it's time to stop fooling around.
Yeah.
We live in a multi-ethnic country. Stop acting like it.
Yeah.
We have a multi-ethnic president. Hello? What's wrong with you? And this thing last night, I was like, okay, enough. The Russo, Maddo Russo thing, stop it. Just stop it. He's sitting there telling me that he can't find good black announcers. I can name you 6 right now off the top of my head. You can't find these guys? Come on now. Okay.
Well, like you said earlier, I think he's lazy. I think he's lazy. He's got a nice check.
They're all lazy, Gary. All of them.
Yep.
let's get to the diamond today.
Okay.
Your eight went down today. 3-0 today.
Yeah. Well, you know, John Lester. You know, he's the man. John Lester's a man, and you know, despite what's, you know, kind of out there, I think the Red Sox will
win that division, right?
Sign him.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to re-sign him.
They get the scores. The Yankees beat Tampa Bay 9-3. Tanaka remains undefeated at Yankee Stadium 9-3. Today in Chicago, Wrigley Field, the Cubs beat San Francisco 3-0. As Brian Seltzer wins his first game of the year, beating Michael Wacha 3-0, Cubs over the Cardinals. Like we said, the Boston Red Sox beat the Oakland A's 6-3. And John Lester did a masterful job today, putting down the Oakland A's. Only 4 hits and 3 runs.
Yep. I have to say, one of the things that I really, you know, when I look back on the Oakland A's of the last 2 years, you know, I was sorry to see Johnny Gomes go, because he's kind of a local guy, and you know,
yeah,
would have been nice to see him there. I think he's in his last year over there. So it'd be interesting, because I know all the press and all the interviews that I saw, he seemed to really like the A's. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting if he.
Gary, Billy Ball, you'll win the division. That's gonna be it. Because Billy Ball will not get you a big name. The A's will go win 90 games this year. Okay, big deal. Go to playoffs, they're gonna lose the playoffs. But why? Because they have no stopper on the mound.
I would say so.
I mean, they're a great team, but they don't win 90 games. But when it comes time to shut down pitching, they cannot do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just because, I mean, it all comes back to both the NL West and the AL West are overall very weak divisions. And because of that, you know, the A's will probably win the division with 90 games. I don't see any problem with that. Not at all, you know.
It's a shame that we had to sit here and every year go through this every year.
Yeah.
Every year the A's come in either first or second. Every year they go to the playoffs. Every year they get bounced out.
Yeah.
And they get bounced out because the other team has a shutdown pitcher.
But it's still, you know, it amazes me that they're able to do what they do year after year. Under the Billy Ball scenario.
Billy Ball is earning baseball as a whole.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because nobody's going to stay here. Nobody's going to stay in Oakland.
No.
You get a star like Coco Chris. You ain't going to be here too much longer.
Yeah.
I love Coco.
Is he in his last year? I didn't check on that before I came on. Is he in his last year?
Yeah. In he'll be in his year. So the A's goes all over again.
Yeah. Well, interesting that even with their reliance on Billy Ball, they're still able to do what they do. And I have to give Bob Melvin at least partial credit for that. I mean, like I said last week, he could take, you know, a bunch of people off the streets one day and make a team out of them the next day. So,
yeah.
And I think Billy Bean, despite Billy Ball, is I think he knows what he has in Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
So I don't see him messing with Bob Melvin. Although you never know.
well, the way the money is in the baseball, I would not even give it to him too.
Yeah.
The Giants. What is wrong with Tim Lindsay? Did he win that night or did he lose that night?
Let's see. Did he get the win? No, Hudson got the win last night.
Hudson beat that night then.
Did you mean Hudson or Lindsay?
Hudson. Let me check. I think you're right. I think it was Hudson.
Yeah.
That night. Let me take on this.
All right. I think Lindsay goes today.
Okay, yeah, you're right. He goes today.
Yeah.
No. Lindsay won that night 2-1, and Hudson goes today.
I listened to at least part of that game, and I think, I don't know, maybe I'm...
Yeah, I got the city right here, I'm looking at it right here, 2-1.
Oh, okay.
8 strikeouts, he did pretty good.
Yeah.
Romo came in for a save.
Yeah.
Romo's gonna be like a Wilson. He's gonna blow his arm out.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know if Romo is gonna be doing it all year. I mean, I look at. Oh, Lord, I can't think of his name right now. The other reliever besides Romo.
What was he name?
Oh, my God, the name escapes me at the moment.
Gadillo Alfred. Gadillo?
No.
Jeremy Alfred.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Alfred.
Jeremy Alfred.
Thank you, yeah. I think in the long run, I think Alfred may turn out to be
Okay.
A closer. I mean, I don't think Romo's entirely comfortable with the closer role. I think he was real comfortable with it when Wilson was around and he set Wilson up. But I don't think Romo is, well, at least to me, he hasn't proved himself.
Well, I think he did very well last year.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, okay, who are you picking West to win the West? Not the West.
Well, I begrudgingly...
Did Dodgers, right, Dodgers?
Yeah.
I knew you got that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's still, I don't think it's going to be as, you know, as hands down as people think. I think, you know, I think Arizona and Colorado are all, you know, already out. They're just, those two teams just.
You forgot San Diego.
I did forget San Diego. You're right.
They already gone. I think Colorado, the three teams in this division this year, is the Giants, Rockies, and Dodgers. Those three teams.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers and Mrs. Staff stay together, the Dodgers are going to win it. I think the Dodgers are going to win the division.
Yeah.
Also, you got Jack Kemp and Gazio Pig. If Gazio Pig would play within the game, I think Gazio Pig would be one of the best baseball players baseball ever seen.
What do you think the problem is there? Why can't he keep his head in the game?
Well, Gazio Pig is 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the first problem.
Yeah.
Second problem is nobody taught him fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that surprises me because you go to the Little League, you go to the Junior League, you go to the Cuban League, and you can't get fundamentals.
Yeah.
Something wrong with this pitcher.
Yeah.
So here he is in the major leagues making ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
Like we're overthrowing the God man. He don't do that.
Yep.
Running through south side. He don't do that.
No.
If the coach tells you to stop.
And he does that a lot. He runs his stuff
a
lot.
Oh, he runs through many south side.
He must drive coaches crazy.
Well, Don Mattingly said last year they held down for three games. You don't want to do this?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
We're going to send you down for three or four games.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. He, you know, he didn't learn from that. It seemed like he got more resentful and more like, well, I'll show you. I'm just going to go do my thing.
This is the part of the modern-day athlete that's very, very difficult for me to take.
Yeah.
Modern athlete thinks he knows everything about everything. If he
exactly.
tells me, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, you're big.
And what he doesn't know, what the modern athlete doesn't know, he doesn't worry about it.
No, you're right.
You know, it's like, I'm
go.
In the big league, so, you know, no. I'm not going to worry about it.
And baseball is a game where you learn something every single day. You learn something new.
Mm-hmm, yep.
That's what baseball is.
Yep.
So here we are with a young man who is very talented. Outstandingly talented.
Yeah.
Did not want to listen to people who tell him what to do. So we got a problem here.
Yeah. And if he would just relax and do that, because I think he needs to prove to himself how talented he is.
He is a very talented man.
Yeah.
Yasio Pig will be an all-star this year, no doubt.
Yeah.
But he has to control. You have a guy on second base. You got one out.
Yep.
A guy in the fly ball.
Yep.
Yasio Pig gets the ball and he throws over the head of the combat. It's no bad man.
Yeah. Yeah.
A guy on second base scores a base run. That shouldn't happen.
Yep. Yep. What do you think? What do you think about Pablo Sandoval's long-term situation? And I'm not. Let me preface that by saying I'm not talking about anything like, you know, weight or size or, you know, what he didn't do as far as his weight or what he did do as far as his weight. I'm just talking about overall ability. I mean, he's in some sense, he's another Puig unless in that he lets himself get,
no,
you know, overrated.
Pablo is a very different character. Pablo, the Yasiel Puig has an ego bigger than the house. Pablo doesn't have that. Pablo is a very different individual.
Yeah.
Pablo
is just very high strung, that's all.
Yeah, he's very, very sensitive. Very sensitive. Because you're a bigger cat, that's what you think.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the difference between the two players.
Yeah, I see your point.
Pablo is a average third baseman. Now, what he needs to do is he needs to talk to who's the third baseman for the Orioles back in the day? Robinson.
Yeah, right.
Robinson. He needs to talk to Brooks Robinson about playing third base.
Yeah. You mean seek out Robinson's advice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brooks Robinson knew that base. Like he knew the backup was in.
Oh, you know, I mean, they called him the human vacuum, you know? Yeah, he just...
I'm very happy. I got to see the human vacuum cleaner in person, okay? Very happy I got to see that guy play third base.
Would you say a person, Frank Robinson?
Yeah, I saw Frank Robinson play in person a couple of times.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. It's very interesting, going back to the years, I've seen Hank Aaron play.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Willie Mays play. Alu brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All the Alu brothers.
Yep.
Last years of Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. Who's the guy that was up against the NFL for free agency? Kirk Flood,
yeah.
These are the kind of things that these kids today, I don't know if they realize what they're seeing or what they're, you know. I wonder what's going through their mind when they go to the game.
Yeah. I miss the days when, you know, the end of the year would come, the player would just, you know, at some point he would go into the owner's office, sit down with the owners, and work it out, you know, just, you know.
Those days are gone, you know why?
Oh, I know. I just miss them.
Because the agent now, people like Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco, those guys, they never done to the manager ever again. Those days are long gone by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the agent is taking over the contract talks.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
And from what I can see is the agents just taking them on themselves to barge in, you know, just let me do this, you know.
Yeah. What they do.
Yeah.
See, baseball, okay. Don't get me started about baseball. Let me ask you a question. Do you think baseball is a game of cheaters?
I think baseball, I don't know if I would use the word cheaters, but I think there is, goes back to what you said earlier, I think there's a number of players, you know, in both leagues across the board that that have lost the fundamentals, or at least part of the fundamentals.
Okay, the reason that makes them cheaters?
I don't know.
All right, okay. The reason why I say this is because when you go to the plate, what does the batter do when he goes to the plate? He scratches out the batter's box. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to get a foot outside the box.
Okay, yeah.
That's cheating. When
is
you throw a baseball, that's cheating.
Wow, it's news to me. I didn't know that was... If that's cheating, are you surprised that the umpires allow it, or they just overlook it, or
the
what?
The gentleman's agreement. Baseball is a bunch of gentlemen's agreements.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let me give you another example. You use rising bag on the mound, right?
Mm-hmm.
One pitcher used rising bag on the mound. So, why do pitchers try to use five stars at the same time?
That's cheating. Yeah.
Alright, now, another one. We all know steroids is cheating. That's a given, right?
Right, yep.
The Oakland A's, the L.A. Dodgers, and the L.A. and everyone call them Angels, have the biggest foul territories in the league.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
I think Oakland's the biggest. They got the biggest territory of all. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, go to Boston. I go to Cleveland, you had short foul territories.
Yeah.
That's cheating. Okay?
Yep.
Because a fly ball open is out. A fly ball in Cleveland is a strike.
Yeah.
Okay? Baseball needs to clean up its act. I've been saying this for years. It needs to clear up his act. You have one league where the DH. Another league you have no DH. Are you serious?
Well, I'm a proponent of getting rid of the DH altogether.
Either add the DH in both leagues.
Yeah.
Or get rid of it.
Yeah, I would reluctantly say, okay, go ahead and add if you want to, but you know. I've never liked it.
You either do one or the other. You either add the age or you don't.
Yeah.
This is Willy Wonka back and forth. Come on, man.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, let me ask you something. When you you talked about seeing Roger Maris in his last years. So I'm assuming that was in Yankee Stadium, yes?
Yes.
So,
in old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. So, how was the accessibility
not good.
Addressed?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. So, did you end up having to get out of your chair or what?
Yep.
How did that work?
That's what you did.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's a lot better now because you knew Yankee Stadium had accessible places now.
Yeah,
Gary, what we did 30 years ago with the Oakland A's, you and I, we were the architects of making ballparks accessible all over this country.
Yeah, we were.
And every ballpark.
Yeah.
From 1986 on, modeled them after our design.
Yep.
And the new stadium is exactly what we wrote down on paper.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we're talking about.
Wow. Well, that's cool. Because, as I recall, we sent our proposals to all the major league
clubs. Ballpark. And
yeah.
We didn't get one dime for doing it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I mean, that was unfortunate, but, I mean, that wasn't my bottom line. I mean, if nothing else, I got the experience of, writing a grant and putting stuff together. And we worked our butts off on that, bro.
Well, it took about 3.5-4 months.
Yep, yep.
And I was just happy that little disabled kid could go to the game now and not go through what we went through. I was a kid.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
These kids can walk up in their wheelchairs and go into their own little spot.
Yeah.
Their own spot.
Yeah.
A ball game now.
Now, if the prices would come down to a halfway decent level.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Hey, Yankee Stadium, bleacher seat, $30. Are you kidding me?
And that they start at $30, right?
Bleachers, Gary.
Yeah. I remember the first game in the Oakland Coliseum I ever went to. The bleachers were $4. Yeah, I think it was $4.
$2.50, right?
$2.50. What's that?
$2.50.
And baseball's worried about not not reaching out to the youth. Well, there's your problem right there.
Right, I got at the top of the hour. I'm gonna take about a minute and a half break. You want to hold on? I'll come back in a minute. You want to stay on board?
If you want to talk more baseball stuff, we can do that. Otherwise, I can. If you got more stuff you want to get into it. It's funny because I was thinking this. I heard your opening today. I was like, wow, I wonder if this is even, appropriate,
After the episode this week, I am really, I was on my mind this week because of the three different episodes. I mean, it's like America refuses to include everybody. And they're too busy trying to be smart and trying to be coy about the situation. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
Now, how simple it would have been if Snyder would take the name. any of them. How easy that is. But they don't want to do that. Or Mad Dog not doing his homework.
Yeah.
Think how simple that all you gotta do is go out and think you want African American radio hosts.
Yep.
Okay.
So Gary,
Sterling in LA, he's losing his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So as the league actually decided to are they gonna take the ownership out from under him, or are they gonna stop short?
They had to get a 2/3 vote.
Yeah, yeah. So where's that at? Right, that situation at right now?
It's up in the air.
Okay, have they even taken the vote yet, or?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a break here. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah. All right.
Jack Ramsey passed 89 years old. could take the fast break, and he goes to St. Joe's Hawks, put up his signatures, and put in trouble. He's won titles of all three of the teams he coached. He was a mentor to Pat Riley and the Showtime Lakers. If you want to know about basketball, you had Dr. Jack Ramsey. He knew the game. He will be missed. Dr. Jack Ramsey, 89 years old, has a way of my name. The NAACP decided to rescind the award to Mr. Lyle Sterling, Clipper owner, as they should. The Florida Panthers interim coach was released by the Florida Panthers, Peter Hornacek. And the Panthers have been a complete disaster in the National Hockey League, and they've been in last place for many, many years. They have returned since 2000. The NBA banned Sterling for life and fined him $2.5 million. I think it's because the union threatened the strike. Wednesday. Now, you know, you have to use your brain. Jameis Winston is not using his brain. You're a Florida State quarterback, and you're a Florida State pitcher. Why are you going into a supermarket and taking crab legs and walking out of the store? I don't get it. That part of the athlete today is just beyond my conception. He was fined $350 and returned the items to his door. On Thursday, Donald Sterling sued the NBA. Remember, folks, owning a basketball team is not a civil right. It's a privilege. The NBA need to pay him off and get done. Mark D'Antoni on Thursday gets resigned because the Lakers refuse to extend his contract. I'm going to tell you about something, but it's very clear. If D'Antoni gets another job, another team, I will get in my chair and ride across country from Oakland to New York if D'Antoni gets another job in the NBA. D'Antoni will be done the New York Knicks and the Lakers. He has zero championships. And D'Antoni refuses to even think about the concept of defense. So D'Antoni gets sacked by LA Lakers as they look for another coach for 2015. The Clippers are also looking for a new owner, and they're trying to get Sterling to sell the team. Good luck with that. I'm going to tell you, this has been a very interesting week in sports. as baseball season had a backseat to hockey and NBA. We will have 5 game 7 this week. Let me get this together here so we can do it right. tomorrow, San Antonio will be will host Dallas. I think the Spurs will be that one. And the Brooklyn, New Jersey Nets will go into Canada or Toronto. And the old man should win this game. With Garnett and Pierce, they should beat the youngsters from Toronto. There you have it, the NBA yesterday. Okay. In the PGA, last week the youngsters win with a week-long tournament in New Orleans. Missouri Classic, a 20-year-old Sing No wins the men's title in New Orleans. Rays were in the Bay Area between Dirk Gassick and Michelle Wee was here in the Bay Area. But 17-year-old South Korean Lydia Ko from New Zealand wins the Dirk Gassick in San Francisco. Maria Sharapova, the blonde bombshell, wins her third Stuttgart Busch Grand Prix in Germany, beating Ivanovic, and the women are in Portugal today. The men are in Germany for the BMW Open. Women are one, they have the week off this week. IndyCar, they're in Indianapolis for the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Last weekend, at NASCAR, man, they were burning tires left and right. And three drivers lose their tires burning. Joey Logano wins the Toyota 400 in Richmond, Virginia, WCLM territory. My man, Jeff Gordon, coming second. And this weekend, they're in Talladega Motor Speedway. We will come back for other words. There we go. Remind you that tomorrow is a music box followed by Michael Ingram, Mind Meld Music tomorrow night.
Hey, 707 here. I'm going to defer to Michael, though. Michael's always got better stuff to say. He's got the facts. I've just got the questions.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, here's a question for you. What the hell is going on up in Boston? You know, I don't know if Johnny brought this up earlier, but P.K. Subban, who is the defenseman par excellence for Les Canadiens, has been kicking much booty. And Montreal outquicked the Bruins and got a split, even though in that third period, the Bruins really sucked them and roughed them up. Gave Montreal all kinds of hell around the net, and they scored four unanswered goals to beat the Canadiens 5-3. But Montreal did get the split, and when P.K. Subban scored the game-winning goal, everybody lost their doggone minds. The bottom line is the National Hockey League, and this is something Gary and I have been talking about constantly. We knew that we were going to have some serious growing pains because more and more black players were becoming prominent and having prominent roles and their team's respective successes.
Yeah.
Although Philadelphia Flyers didn't beat New York like they should have, Wayne Simmons made the point that he is a player to be reckoned with, and he has truly got some talent as an up-and-coming power forward in the league.
Simmons, Wayne Simmons, there were two games in the series where Wayne Simmons was the only player in the whole game that was playing the game. I was appalled at the way the Flyers were playing. They acted like they didn't want to be there.
Well, see, guy, you got to remember something. You know, black athletes are always going to be held to a different standard. Now, if you looked at just the numbers, Wayne Simmons was -2 for the series. But clearly, the 4 goals he scored, the times that he was under, the times he was down low, doing the dirty work, mucking and grinding, those stuff don't show up on the stat sheet. And Philadelphia, simply, they had a bad second period, and that made all the difference in the world. The Rangers outshot them 18-5 on top of everything else. They took the game to them. You would have thought after that game, Flyers would have been up and ready to jam. And if it wasn't for Mason, the game probably would have ended up 6 or 7 goals down.
Yeah, what happened to Claude Leroux? He didn't disappear in time. What was the deal?
You got to remember, all team sports are about matchups. That sigh that you just heard came from Pittsburgh. It was the last team that Pittsburgh wanted to see quiet. Because they know them. They know how to attack Fleury. They know his weak spots. And they've been beating on him like a drum for a long time.
Yeah.
Just as the Flyers always have had problems with Lundqvist, and they've always had problems with the great Martin Brodeur. So the Devils and the Rangers have always beat Devils, the Flyers. But this time, it seemed like because of all of the comebacks they had this year, it seemed as if they were rounding in the shape. They were developing a different pedigree. But when it really came down to money time, Claude Giroux was nowhere to be found. They had to move him to different lines to help him become more effective.
But
the story was exactly what you just said. When it came down to crunch time, Giroux came up short.
Will Martin Brodeur, will he be? Will he stay in New Jersey when he retires?
I think Martin Brodeur is going to retire. I think he's had a fantastic career. No doubt he's Hall of Fame first ballot. No doubt his work, his body of work is unquestioned. Most shutouts, you know, all those years he played, 3 Stanley Cups. What are you going to do? You know, it's time to move on. Maybe if he's got that much of an itch, he might sign on with somebody if they let him go. I would doubt that. I think the Devils organization wouldn't allow that to happen. But you got to know that they're quietly nudging him out the door because they really don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Also, the thing about this, I got to tell you about earlier on your show, Mr. Mad Dog Rousseau doing his thing.
Yeah.
Michael, I am really disturbed with what he said to begin with, because he said that he can't find credible black broadcasters. Are you kidding me? Black guys in front of himself.
I know.
What is
the
deal?
You got to consider the source, Gary. You got to consider the source. Who the hell knew who Chris Russo was before talk radio?
Thank you.
He didn't have a clue. And this is an industry that perpetuates supremacy because they don't want competent brothers or sisters coming in there and voicing their opinions. You got to remember, this is strong media influence we're talking here. These guys make a living tearing apart people's characters, destroying them in some cases, and all they'll say after the fact, especially if they've done personal damage, is, well, you know, I'm not a journalist, I'm just a personality. You know, and all of them come from journalistic, most of them, rather, come from journalistic backgrounds. So you know they know what to say and what not to say. They're endorsed by management to do whatever they can to push the envelope. You know, in my area, we got two black radio people, for lack of a way to put it, Gary Cobb and Alice Thomas. And it surely could easily be me, too. But the bottom line in all this is that they don't want us in there. That's the truth. There's competency all around. You know, you got brothers like Larry Hardesty in New York. You may not have heard of him, but he's been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah,
he's been doing it a long time. This is Russo bloviating, and then he got caught on it. He tried to huff it and pretend he didn't say it. The long and short of it is, as long as you get to control the message, you can say what you want. And that is what the media is about. That's what sports talk radio is about. They don't have to worry about whether the person is competent or not. All they care about is that there's a loud voice, to some degree, is obnoxious and plays to a certain frat boy mentality, because those are the people who they think are buying stuff. So if they can relate to Vinny from Bucks County or wherever the heck else, then they know these are the people that will listen to him, and they can justify paying them a salary, whether they have any real level of competence or not.
All right, what's he going to do, Devin?
Well, I think you got to look, too. The other piece of that is corporate ownership of media, how very few corporations now own the majority of the channels, Clear Channel, Disney, and there is kind of a dumbing down. There is not really a voice for true controversy, and as you've both said on your show and in your writings, Gary, you can look at the you know, the drumbeat here. I was watching ESPN yesterday, this constant drumbeat about Johnny Manziel, and hardly a message about Teddy Bridgewater. And it's like, you know, it's like the same way we were fed this weapons of mass destruction, this drumbeat for this mental programming, if you will.
It is programming. That's exactly right. That's the right word. Because when the season started, the so-called draft season started, everyone agreed, that Teddy Bridgewater was the most ready, pro-ready quarterback in the draft. 71% completion. Only 24 interceptions in his entire collegiate 4-year career. That's averaging 6 picks a year. Not bad. And he's throwing for high percentage, so he's pro-ready in any style offense. But something funny happened on the way to the first round. All of a sudden, and this, I tell you, is residual effect from the Russell Wilson effect from him and what he did as a player thus far. You notice Nolan Milwaukee was nowhere to be found because he had already been made out to be a fraud twice with Cam Newton. And again, with either Robert Griffin III, take your pick. Now, they put this other guy in there, Daniel Jeremiah, I believe his name is, to operate as hitman on Bridgewater. So, of course, Bridgewater has his pro day, and Jeremiah's like, well, he's not a pro-quality quarterback. You know, he can't do this. He was throwing incomplete passes. The guy threw 71% completions. And now they're going to tell me in 2 hours, he's not first-round draft-worthy. So now the spin is going to, he's going to be out of the top 10, to out of the first round, and now they spin it up and saying, oh, Bridgewater will be a steal in the second round. If he's available to Houston at number 33, they should pounce on him. So the real issue is, we don't want this, you know what, to get this money. And
they want a quarterback. They want a black quarterback. And look, you know, I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Somebody told them, if you mess with Clowney, we're going to be in your behind. And they were messing with Clowney a couple of weeks ago. They were messing with Clowney. Somebody was whispering in their ear. Don't mess with Clowney because he rose from, I believe somebody put a bug in their ear. Stop fooling around.
It's more than a bug, Gary. You got to realize, this is not a fair playing field. And when it comes to the draft, after everybody tried to roast Jamarcus Russell for flopping, and he won't be the first flop, but he knew as a quarterback, or should have known as a quarterback, and a black quarterback, the Kleeg lights were going to be on his butt. But the bottom line here is that Robert Griffin, like him and hate him, has made it. Russell Wilson, if he's 6'4", he's first off the board. But those who ignored him at his peril, and the Seattle Seahawks are going to be a power for years to come. Colin Kaepernick, same thing with the tattoos. Second round, he's done damage. So now we have Bridgewater, 6'2", a little taller than Donovan McNabb. They know he's got the goods, but yet, if he's out of that first round, he's missing somewhere between $5 and $12 million in bonus money. And you better believe that is really what this is about, because there's no way a hack like Mel Kiper, and I'm saying it exactly right, a hack like Mel Kiper could sit there and justify trying to make Manziel or Blake Bortles or anybody else the number one quarterback get a car when nobody has said jack about these guys. You got to get the impression that Kiper is taking some sort of kickback for saying and doing the things that he's doing. And remember, he's no different than anybody else who's sitting there looking at all the players. Kiper don't know jack about football. The only difference between him and everybody else, he's got an audience of millions to prove that he knows nothing about football.
But here's the tension. There's a tension between two points here. One, that as Gary has said, and I agree, that the league and the owners, in many cases, do not want a black quarterback.
No,
so
it's true.
Contrast that to, on the other side, the league and certainly the owners want to win, and they're going to pick. And there's a tension in there between picking the guy who's going to give them the best chance to win. Is that Bridgewater? Is that Manziel? Is that anybody else? Will they overlook race and make the pick, as Seattle did with Russell Wilson?
I would throw this in as a matter of discussion. I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense. But the X factor that you're missing out on here is because when the draft starts, no matter how good a record or how bad a record a team has, the league has already won. Look what the draft has turned into. Look how it is this huge event. And now everybody talks football 12 months a year. Remember, it used to only be baseball, where you'd have your hot stove league. And they talk about who's doing what, where the big trades would be, you know, playing down in Florida. You couldn't wait for the season to start, or Arizona. So now it's a whole other spin on this, because you got to remember all the NFL teams, and I say all the NFL teams, have already won because they all split that big-ass TV pie. And while we're all screaming for our respective teams and whether or not they're going to do what, get that guy, that defensive lineman or that cornerback or that wide receiver, they are missing out on the fact that some of these owners and some of these front offices could give a sweet rat's patootie about who they pick and what they pick, as long as they know they are getting the results where it matters most.
Hello, guys. We got Pat Freeman. Pat Freeman, come on in. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, what's up, Gary?
How you doing?
Hey, what's up,
Gary? Can you tell us what was going on in Buffalo with the new thing that was going on?
Well, it's still a battle. I mean, we're battling these obstructionists. They're trying to do whatever they can to take people off track of what we should be doing. And that's
the governor Cuomo, what did he do this week? I think he died with a new project, right?
Say that again, Gary.
The governor is dying for a new project, right?
He hasn't said if he's for or against it publicly, but he wants to go through a process. Excuse me. That's Buffalo's finest going by. for whatever reason, I don't know. I just don't get the way they do things in cities like this. It seems that
what can we do? What can the gold caravan? What can we do to help assist you in getting this project done?
Say that again,
Gary. What can the gold caravan assist you in getting this thing done?
What can be done to help us?
Yes.
To assist. Uh-huh. Yep.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'll call you right back.
Okay. Hey, well, following up on Michael's comments there, though, let me throw out the question. I mean, don't the owners ultimately want to win? Isn't that what it's really about? And to that extent, are they or are they not colorblind?
Let me take this verse. There is an image. In that image, you have a specific range of image, okay? Like, Kelly of Buffalo, right? He's the image of the team, right? Well, the image of the team reflects the owner. How many black owners in the NFL?
Right.
This is the thing. Yeah, you want to win, but yeah, you want to get the image. Why do you think Michael Wiggins had it for a hard time? The image, that's what we're talking about here. Go ahead, Mike.
See, the image is about the fact that fans are led to believe that their owners and their teams want to win, because that's what we're all raised to do. We understood, you know, as Hermit said, you play to win the game. We always thought when our team played on Sunday afternoons or whatever, that our team was trying to win the game. But you don't understand that there are a lot of teams whose idea of winning the game is to make money. My Philadelphia Eagles are a classic example of that. Jeffrey Lurie went from some nondescript dweeb who came in with $100 million and ended up with a $1 billion investment maturing because he got one guy, his quarterback, Donovan McNabb, who in spite of everything he's done, in spite of all of his accomplishments, if Donovan McNabb had been white and you saw on his pedigree that he won 5 division championships, got his team to 1 Super Bowl, passed for more yards than any Eagle quarterback ever, had a touchdown-to-interception ratio of better than 2-1, you would say he's our greatest quarterback, he might be a Hall of Famer, all that other stuff. But because he was black, it was a whole different situation. He was thrashed by the local media here. Because in their minds, he wasn't a silly guy. But while he's doing all of this, and while he's making do with third-grade receivers, nobody bothered to ask, hey, Jeffrey, how's that salary cap working? While teams like the Steelers and the Packers were winning Super Bowls, the Eagles were consistently winning the salary cap bowl, which is the one that mattered most to Lurie. His method of selling low, buying cheap, and nurturing the 1 or 2 real talents that he had. Remember, Brian Westbrook was a 7th-round draft choice out of Villanova. When did Westbrook become for the Eagles? That's the way they look at this stuff. If they find you cheap and you become a star, it's, hey, hooray for us. But bona fide talent, they're not going to do that. And in doing so, they save money. When Lurie started making money, other teams around the league saw his business model, and they did exactly the same thing. And that's really what the odds here. The cost of doing business as opposed to the illusion that you're going to try to win games. No matter what anybody says about Jerry Jones, there's no illusion about Jerry Jones if you're a Cowboys fan, right? You believe that the Cowboys are going to win because you think Jerry is doing everything in his power to find that one guy and sign him or get him in the draft to make your Cowboys a Super Bowl morning line favorite.
Nobody ever complains
about Jerry.
We got Pat Freeman back on board again.
Back on board, Jerry.
Okay, what I ask you is what group work in the Gold Caravan and my caravan crew help you get this project done?
Say that again,
well, basically, what is the power that Gary's show can bring to help you with your task there in Buffalo?
Basically, what you're doing, we're getting the word out as much as we can, letting the world be exposed to individuals that really are hurting a community, a region, because of selfish individuals that control the politics here by political contribution. We're exposing Andrew Cuomo's policies. This is a man that has national aspirations, but I don't see, if word gets out that you're against a project that would create 10 to 15,000 living wage jobs and change the economic landscape of a very desolate, very much so hurt former industrial region, I don't see how you can have any aspirations. So we're doing what we're doing. We're continuing to put the word out. We're continuing to put pressure on elected officials, whether they want to admit it or not. Brian Higgins, we just had a call in on him.
I was smiling about the Brian Higgins thing. Please, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brian Higgins, the congressman who we just called in on last week, he received hundreds of phone calls. He's trying to make an excuse that he's for downtown stadium, but nobody said anything about the outer harbor. So, you know, that's one of the lame excuses that they're saying. I don't believe that. These politicians here have been so classically conditioned towards getting over with their institutionalized racism policies that, you know, it's just something we have to continue to fight until we defeat them at every turn, and I think we will. I think this project is a lot larger than a lot of people would imagine, and it has been a ripple effect on our community, waking up on every other issue, and we continue to fight, and we're going to keep fighting, and I appreciate Soul Tree Radio, The Cove, every show that talks about this issue across this nation. That is going to continue to put pressure on Andrew Cuomo because he could end this tomorrow.
Yeah.
He has the power to grant HKS a land option on that land and end this discussion. But he has not, and it seems to me that he lacks the respect of the African-American community tremendously, and I think it's going to come back to haunt him. He's up for re-election. Brian Higgins is up for re-election. So we're going to have to show them who is deserving of our support. And we cannot.
There you go.
I've got hundreds of people that are going to have pledged that they will not support anyone against the creation of 10 to 15,000 living wage jobs. And right now, that means Andrew Cuomo, that means Congressman Brian Higgins, we are letting them know that we will make sure that we will, you don't want to work with us, then we will have to work against you, and that means to vote you out of office.
Could you give the people the information they can get in contact with you by email or by a program, whatever, I don't know, you know, on WUFO, 1080, both of them, you know, other than that.
Right. Well, I'm on the air, of course, on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Mix 1080 AM WUFO. I'm the sports director there. And you can reach me by my email at freemaj@aol.com. And that, or my Facebook page. I have three Facebook pages, the number one sports show in the nation, and the Downtown Stadium Project, and then, of course, my own personal page, in which we have close to 8,000 members and friends. So we're doing our part, and I appreciate the part that all of you are doing, because in the long run, it will be our victory, no individual victory, and hopefully we can change the landscape of our communities with this.
Thank you, man. Glad you came on. You come on anytime. You come in, go anytime you want to come in.
All right, I appreciate that, Gary. It's always a pleasure to be on the Cove.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, Gary, I want to give a quick shout-out from 707 and all your listeners to the 609, who is probably listening and who's on injured reserve.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't wait till we see the 609 back in the lineup.
He'll be off the DL next week.
Okay, good. I'll let you close it out.
All right, thank you, bro. All right. Well, it's near the end of time. And Michael, got any last words? Oh, also, what you got for my stream, bro? What you got for the my stream?
We're going to have an eclectic mind stream. We may go electric or we may go straight nasty blues tomorrow evening. You know, whatever it is, it'll be an intriguing mix. We never keep it simple. So 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern, at least 11 p.m. Eastern, the mind stream where we take as many routes as we possibly can in answering the question, what is soul musically? So hopefully you all check us out. Thank you all for your support. Thank you to some of you guys who said happy birthday to my old behind.
Happy birthday. We're
appreciative of all that good stuff. It's nice to still be here. You know, and without even making a joke about that, there's an old saying that no matter how you lay your head, a bad day alive beats a good one dead. So,
yeah.
You know, every time you wake up in the morning, you're ahead of the game.
That's right.
Keep those things in perspective and remember those. Remember those who matter most to you. Remember those who took care of you. And remember, most importantly, those who came before you.
Right.
With Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, check us out on Facebook. Thank you all. Have a great afternoon and evening and a weekend. And all willing, we'll see you guys tomorrow evening. Take care.
Thank you, Mike. I want you to go to the website at blackaddy.com, our new sponsor, Virginia Valley Sports Group, WCNM 1450, and WCNMRadioOnline.com, Richmond, Virginia. Of course, Michael Ingram, Jordan Radio in the Raw, with the Mind Seamer, Sunday night, right after the Cove Caravan Comfort Zone. This week we're going to have the second half of the OJs at 4 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, part 2 of the Cove Caravan Comfort Zone, the OJs. The Bad, and the Bad Cove on Friday afternoons. We gotta give our young warrior, Travis Singleton was fundraising the effort at schools for kids and kicked for grades. Okay. Remember the late great Roy Rogers, Ben Attendee of New York, and Dorian Wade doing the Reform Magazine, Boston, Massachusetts, and Giovanni's Produce Market, Elsevier, California. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I want to give my other sponsors a moment before we get out of here.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, this is L.A. Bachelor.
And Tony T. Mac McClain.
Inviting you to join us on The Bachelor Pad,
where we talk about sports and politics from a racial, economical, and social point of view.
And some other surprises.
It's The Bachelor Pad.
Every Monday through Thursday, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com and thebachelorpad.com.
Gary discusses topics and issues that affect the disabled, minorities, and the oppressed. Interested in being a part of the show? Call us at 646-929-0130 or hit us in the chat room at Blog Talk. Interested in advertising on the show? Email us at labachelor40@gmail.com. Now, here is Gary Gray.
Thank you. At the Bad Go on Friday afternoons.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talking Sports, live on GLC.
Welcome to the Bad Cold Show with your host, Gary Gray. Gary discusses topics and issues that affect the disabled, minorities, and the oppressed. Interested in being a part of the show? Call us at 646-929-0130 or hit us in the chat room at Blog Talk. Interested in advertising on the show? Email us at labachelor40@gmail.com. Now, here is Gary Gray.
Good night, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see you next week, Friday, on the Bad Go. Saturday, there we go. Sunday, the music box. Good night.